Hi there, I'm Janet Quinlan, and this is Finding Joy in Motherhood, the podcast for women who are looking for practical tools and words of encouragement to create an orderly, joyful, faith, and virtue-driven home. I'll share tips to create mindset shifts that change the way you discipline your children, love your husband, and enjoy your day. This podcast is about coaching women to be the best woman God is calling her to be. I'm so glad you're here. Hey everyone, welcome to today's episode. It's called How to Find Time for Authentic Self-Care, but actually, I'm going to tell you that's kind of a lie, because I don't think you find time, I think you make it. So let me get into it. I haven't done an episode in a long while about taking care of yourself, and to tell you the truth, I'm still working on doing this for myself. I spent years not really taking care of myself. So I created that habit that I'm still trying to change. Part of the reason I'm recording this episode is because I want to remind myself the what and the why of taking care of myself. And I really want to encourage you, especially if you are a young mom who thinks you don't have time for self-care, I want to tell you, as an old mom, you must find the time. You must make the time to take care of yourself. First of all, self-care has kind of gotten a bad rap. And I think that's because we've blurred the lines of self-care and self-indulgence. Now, we can't live in either extreme, where we put ourselves so last that we're not even on our list, nor putting ourselves first all the time to please all our whims and desires so that all we think about is ourselves. Let's take a look at self-care from a reasonable, moderate perspective. Okay, so as I said, if you think you just need to find time for self-care, you are mistaken, because you'll never find time. You must make time. And actually, I would love to dispel the notion that authentic self-care is about doing something above and beyond the everyday care of yourself. Yes, it's nice to get away from everyone and everything for a little while, or meet up with friends for a night out, or schedule a massage or manicure. A massage has become my thing. It doesn't happen often, but when it does, it really is amazing. But the truth of it is most of us don't or won't do those things as often as maybe we would like to, whether it's because we don't want to spend our money that way, or we don't have the money to spend that way, or just because it feels too hard to make time away actually happen. I do believe that you need time away from your children and your routine, and they need time away from you to appreciate you. I go on retreats yearly, silent retreats, because if I don't want to hear my kids talk, I don't want to hear other people talk. And it really is refreshing. It's a little out of the comfort zone for many people. And some people say they don't want to do that. They can't imagine a weekend of silence. It's not actually silence. You have a priest giving meditations, but having silence helps your mind sort of regulate a little bit. So I do believe getting away yearly is really important for everyone involved, but I think authentic self-care is an ongoing daily ritual where we attend to our needs rather than disregarding them and paying the price for not fulfilling our needs. Rather than finding time for self-care, let's just make it a part of our life. Like we used to do before the husband and the children, or maybe the outside job or school volunteer assignments. How did you care for yourself before marriage and motherhood? I remember that before Michael came over to pick me up for a date, I would spend a good amount of time fixing my hair and makeup, choosing a flattering outfit, and just being ready for him. And then in between those times that we would see each other, I would be running and working out and watching what I ate and sleeping and all those things. Are you ready every day to greet your husband? Or have you done a bait and switch where he's looking around now wondering what happened to that beautiful girl he married? Authentic self-care is really simple. Take care of yourself every day. We take care of everyone else, including helping strangers, but we don't take care of ourselves. The body that you have is a vessel. It's a gift from God. And like any gift, we have a responsibility, a duty really, I think, to care for it. I think we're more conscious of taking good care of our pets than we sometimes are of taking good care of ourselves. And while we may be able to fake it through life, not attending to the important elements of our human body, composed of body, mind, and spirit, so caring for each of those elements of our human person, eventually not taking care of ourselves will catch up with us. We have an important role in our life, doing God's will, that requires a finely tuned instrument. Yo-Yo Ma would never perform with a cello that is chipped or even scratched, or that is out of tune or broken in any way. He would perform for an audience with a beautiful instrument so that there's no distraction from the exquisite music that he plays. Well, we are that beautiful instrument in God's hands. In order to not distract from the music God wants us to bring into the world, we need to be our best selves. Now, it's not just that we should look good or be in good condition so that we bring glory to God's work in us, but it is also that when we take care of ourselves, we actually perform better and are happier. God didn't call us to marriage and motherhood so that we would gain 20 pounds of anxiety and overwhelm. It isn't a condition of married life that we stop showering or stop taking care of ourselves because we're too busy. He didn't call us to motherhood so that we would have to survive on 4 hours of sleep. We can't give up taking care of ourselves, our body, our mind, and spirit in favor of taking care of our family. When we do that, we don't take care of anyone well, especially ourselves. And then we show up angry and overwhelmed and resentful to everyone. And we wonder why motherhood isn't as we thought it would be. And that's not what marriage and motherhood are about. Yes, it is true. Once we have children, they bring needs and schedules into our lives that we didn't have before. We're also navigating a relationship with our spouse with its ups and downs. We have to learn to be resilient and flexible in how we get things done. We have to be open to looking at our circumstances in a different way so we can be creative about how to attend to the people in our life, how we can efficiently yet thoughtfully care for our home and the experience we have as a family in our home. And we have to be open to reprioritizing many times. Are all these outside activities really important now? How can I delegate the home tasks so I'm not trying to do everything after the kids go to bed? Where can I be more efficient in menu planning, habits, routines, schedules for everyone, so I can attend to taking care of me? The first thing you must do is be convinced you are worth it. You can't pour from an empty pitcher. You need to refill your pitcher many times throughout the day. Every day, show your respect and your love for the beautiful creation God has made, you, by taking care of your outside and your inside. Part of the problem in taking care of ourselves is that we don't live with a schedule. We sort of fly by the seat of our pants and we react all day long to everything and everyone. Begin by taking control of what you can. Now, I say that fully understanding that as soon as I decide to do that, all kinds of things come up to distract me and convince me that everything else is more important than taking care of myself. But we have to resist that temptation that everything and everyone else is more important. And this does not conflict with the message of serving with a loving attitude. It does not conflict because you have to be in your best shape in order to serve well. I had to believe that I was as worthy and as important as all the other needs, real or imagined, were. So here's what I would like to offer you and what worked for me. Each night, take 5 minutes to look at tomorrow. Now, you could be someone who wants to create a schedule on Sunday for your whole week. I tried that. It never worked. Quite frankly, I don't have children at home and it still doesn't work. I mean, I can prioritize what I want to do throughout the week. Some days I can be real clear on exactly when I'm getting something done, but it seems like every day is a different day than what I thought it would be. And so I have to be willing to adjust. So the first way I decided to do that was pull back the schedule. I have a general schedule for the week of the things I need to do and want to do. But I pulled back the schedule so that each night before the next day, I decided what I was going to do. I needed to look at what tomorrow would bring. So look at tomorrow and decide how you're going to address these four areas. Maybe you need to write down when you do these things, but you have to be flexible enough so that you change the timing of when you do them and you still get them done. Because you have to be convinced that when you address these four areas of self-care, you will feel better, you will show up better, and you will live God's mission for you better. The first of the four areas has to be our spiritual needs, our soul. And that must begin with, when are you going to spend time with God? When are you going to pray? It doesn't have to be what everyone else does. Maybe you get up early. Maybe you do it at quiet time, nap time. Maybe you still have babies who take a nap during the morning and you can do it then. Maybe you're doing your prayer while your children are just right over there praying quietly. Our Lord knows your day, okay? He knows what you deal with. And so when you can do it is good with Him. Just do it the best you can. So schedule that first. If you can go to Mass throughout the week, the better. If not, it's okay. Try to find when you can and challenge yourself to do it. When can you get the rosary in? Can you pray the Angelus or Regina Caeli at noon? When can you do 10 minutes of spiritual reading? Decide when you can do those things because they nurture your soul throughout the day. If we just pray in the morning and then we don't do anything else throughout the day, it's okay, but isn't it better to periodically throughout the day reconnect with your life source, with Jesus and His life and learning from Him by just reading a little bit of the New Testament? I promise you that when you start doing those little acts of prayer throughout the day, it will change you. You will become calmer and you will know your faith. And when you know your faith, you can love your faith more. We can't love what we don't know. And so, like any relationship, the more time we spend with God, the deeper our love for God. What does your soul need? St. Augustine says, "Our hearts are restless until they rest in you, O Lord." So the first place of self-care is resting with God each day. The second place is your body. Now, there are a few components to taking care of your body, and the first one in my mind is rest. And I can hear many people saying, yeah, right, rest. When I have a child, waking up in the middle of the night. Okay, let's figure that out. Let's be creative. Let's be resilient. It first starts with going to bed at the right time the night before. And that means that when you have those few hours after the children have gone to bed, you don't decide to clean the house and do the laundry and clean up the kitchen and whatever. You also don't decide, oh, this is my time and I want to get the most of doing what I want for myself. When we think that way, we negate our whole day doing what God really wants of us and really what we want of us. We have to love what we do all day long. We should love what we do all day long. In coaching, they say, never say have to and never say should. And there, I've just broken the rules. But if you don't love what you do all day long so that when it gets quiet in the evening, you can finally be happy, there's something really wrong with your mindset. And I would challenge you to think, what do I really want in life? What do I really want? So that when the children are in bed and you have a couple of hours, or maybe even just an hour, I don't know, you can relax and enjoy that time for sure, but not feel like I don't want to go to bed because then I have to start all over again. Yes, the days are hard. It doesn't matter if you're staying home. It doesn't matter if you're in a full-time job. Work is hard. That's what we're created for, though. Work is hard. And if you are blessed with children, then it should be a joy. Even though it's hard, it should be the place where you find the joy. And if it isn't, bring that to your prayer. Ask our Lord to help you be more joyful, more appreciative of the gifts of the children that He has given you. Okay, so rest, get to bed the night before on time. If you have children getting up in the middle of the night and they're not getting up because they're hungry, they're infants and they're hungry, you need to get on top of that. Why are you allowing that to happen? You need to get on top of teaching your children how to sleep through the night so you can sleep through the night. Does that sound cruel? It's not. Your children, they must have like 9 to 10 hours of sleep for infants and toddlers. They must have that. So if you're not teaching them how to have that, you're not helping them. You're making it harder on them and on yourself. So our goal is to get our children to sleep through the night. And then if we still have ones that get up because they need to eat, then when they go down for naps, we need to take a nap. 15, 20 minute power naps. If you want to take an hour or 2 hour nap, I guarantee you will wake up more tired than if you only take a 15 or 20 minute power nap. But take the nap, take the power nap, and then get up and get on with your day. Second part is nutrition. Are you eating well? How much coffee are you drinking? What's the caffeine intake? Be real careful that you're not hanging on by a thread because you need more coffee. Make sure that you're filling your body with good, nutritious food and that you're not just eating junk and that you're not hungry. And for sure that you are drinking a lot of water. We don't drink enough water. We need to drink like 8 ounces of water a day at least in order to feel hydrated and not exhausted. Did you know that exhaustion often comes from not drinking enough water because we're dehydrated? The third thing is exercise. Do you have to run a half marathon? No, but you need to get out and get your body moving. You can put the children in a stroller and go. Or you can say to your husband, I need to go out for half an hour. I'll be back. But you have to exercise. There are so many apps. There's the Jazzercise app. There's the Bar 3 app. Any of those you can do at home. Make sure you exercise. And then make sure you take care of your professional appearance. You are the CEO of your home. You should look professional. The way you carry yourself, the way you take care of yourself, your children are noticing, especially your daughters. And if you want them to be modest and take care of themselves, to dress appropriately, you need to do that, because they'll do what they see their mom do. So check your clothes, check your hair, maybe a little bit of makeup if it perks up your face. Some of you are so blessed that you don't need that. I needed it. And then make sure you shower every day. It has to be. You shower every day. The third place of self-care is your mind, working on your mindset. I spoke a little bit about that a minute ago, about your attitude, about what your day is, who you are, what you do. What's your attitude on it? Training your brain to think rather than react with emotion is the biggest thing you can do for yourself and your family. When you train your brain to think rather than reacting with emotion, you stop screaming and yelling at the kids. You stop thinking that you're overwhelmed and that you can't do this. You stop complaining. You stop showing up as that crabby wife. So work on your mindset. Bring it to your prayer. Maybe go back and listen to some of the episodes that I've recorded on the model, where we intentionally choose the thoughts about our circumstances that create the feelings that help us achieve the results by doing the actions. The second thing on your mind is reading. Approaching your family with professionalism is really important. So read. Stay up on current events. Just stay up. You don't have to go deep in because it can be depressing, but know what's going on in the world. Learn about new cooking skills. Learn about cleaning and best practices. Read the classics if you can. You don't have to read everything, but maybe a little Aquinas, a little Augustine, a little John Paul II, maybe a little Alice von Hildebrand. Those will all nurture your mind. Or Lewis, or Dickens, or Austen, or Shakespeare, or Tolkien, or Louisa May Alcott. Read Little Women or Little Men with your children. You get like extra credit for that when you read out loud with them. When I taught school, the kids were used to having, I call it junk food reading at home, all of the popular books that were just terrible. And so when they came into my class, we would read the classics, and they loved them. So make sure that you read the classics with your kids. It helps you and it helps them. And one of the ways it helps them is it opens up this new vocabulary that we have long abandoned. Actually, real words, not just like and and yeah and for sure. And there's real words here in these amazing books. The fourth area of self-care is creativity, having a spirit of creativity. Nurture the creative side. Now, some of you will say, oh, I'm not creative. I don't know how to be creative. I had a beautiful daughter-in-law. I have a beautiful daughter-in-law who's like, I'm not creative. And yet, she makes the most beautiful sourdough loaves. She cuts patterns into them, and they're exquisite. They really are beautiful. We all have a creative side. Some people have a huge creative side. They just are all over it. And some people have maybe a smaller creative side. But look to expand your brain. Cooking, baking, maybe it's a hobby of sewing or photography. Maybe it's gardening. Maybe it's sitting down and playing Legos with the kids. Or actually printing out the pictures from your phone and creating books of your children's lives. Nurture your creativity. Okay, so the four areas of self-care: your spiritual side, your body, your mind, and your creativity. When we put all those things together, and it doesn't have to take a huge amount of time every day, look at your week. Maybe Thursdays or Wednesdays is when you nurture your creativity. Maybe you exercise Monday, Wednesday, Fridays. Maybe you decide to read in the afternoon for 15 minutes every day. Allow your brain to be open and curious into ways you can self-care in these four areas on a continual basis. Okay. Take care and take care of yourself. I'll talk to you next week. Bye. Do you have a life coach who helps you be the woman you want to be? The woman God has called you to be? Who helps you sort through your marriage or parenting difficulties and helps you create the mindset you need to embrace your vocation with joy and gratitude? If you're looking for a coach, I would be so honored to help you. Email me at Janet@findingjoyinmotherhood.com.